Morning, everyone. Today's daf from Bava Metzia. I got a lot of notes in front of me. Today's daf from Bava Metzia is Tzadi Ches. Thank the Lubin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is Lana Zechon Shmas Liba Gavriel Bashmul. Today's also daf is being sponsored by a in the Zechon Shmas Rav Mordechai Pinchas Ben Binyamin Avram Teitz, the founder and pioneer of Torah in Elizabeth, New Jersey. Today's his yard site. So his grandchildren sponsored today's daf as well. Okay, with that in mind, let's go. We are starting today in the Mishnah on the very bottom of Tzadi Zayin Amud Aleph. Mishnah starts off, Hashoel es Hapara. So we are going to be continuing in the discussion of the Gemara regarding Sheila Schirus. The 8th Perek of Bava Metzia deals with more of Dalet Shomrim. It started at the end of the 7th Perek, kind of an uneven break in terms of the Masechta. Usually Rabbi Yehuda Nasi starts things in a new Perek, but Dalet Shomrim started at the end of the 7th Perek, and now in the 8th Perek. So our first Mishnah dealt with was the Petur of Shoal Babalim and Schirus Babalim. And now we're going to continue in the Mishnah describing a scenario in which you are both a Socher and a Shoal. Now you really can't be both, which is going to be the point of the Mishnah. You're not going to be both, but you're actually going to be both at different times. So you will see. Shoal Saparav Shela Chatziyom V'Socher Chatziyom. So what you do is you borrow it for half a day and then you rent it for the other half of the day. I know it's an unusual relationship between the owner of the animal and the person who's renting it. You know, in other words, usually they're not mutually exclusive, meaning I can imagine that for the same person I'll rent and I'll borrow it, but generally speaking, you know, either it's a friendship and I'll lend it to you, or it's a business relationship and I'll rent it to you. No, you don't normally come across this kind of hybrid relationship. Well, I'm going to rent it to you and then I'm going to lend it to you. But okay, but as we'll see, the Mishnah has a very specific point it's going to make. So, Ashol Sapar Shela Chatziyom V'Schar Chatziyom. So for half the day it's a loan, and the other half the day it's a rental. Shela Hayom V'Schar L'Machar. So, or the second case of the Mishnah is that today it's going to be a loan and tomorrow it's going to be a rental. And then the third case of the Mishnah, Sachar Achas Vishal Achas. Actually, two animals involved. One animal I'm lending to you and the other animal I'm renting to you. Okay. So we have basically now three cases set up. They're all basically speaking to the same idea. And that is that it's going to be a rental and it's going to be a loan as well. Two different times, or in the third case, two different animals. Umesa.
Person from the same person.
Same person.
Right. No, from the same
person. From the same person to the same person.
Okay.
Umesa.
Is it possible this is just a discount that I'm giving you this?
It could be, but the reason why we have to view it as two separate entities is because we know that a show. Right, it's going to turn it into a question of liability. Exactly. Okay, Umesa. And then the animal dies. Now, in the last case, there are two animals to talk about. So again, every case is going to be treated with separately, although the conclusion is going to be the same. Hamashul Omer. Now, here's what the owner of the animal said. Sheila Mesa, Miyom Shaisa Shula Mesa, Bisha'a Shaisa Shula Mesa. So these three quotes over here are just addressing all three of these cases. So it's funny, it's going out of order, but okay. Anyway, but the point is as follows. The owner says, look, we know that death is ones. Now, does onus create a liability? Depends who you are. If you're a socher, if you're renting an animal, so you're not liable for onus. If you're a shoel, you are going to be liable for onus. So now, obviously, the owner says, well, not obviously, the owner really feels that all this occurred during the period of the sheela, or in the case of the two animals, the animal that I lent you is the animal that died. So the owner, obviously, is going to make a claim, which will strengthen his position. So those are the three quotes. Sheula mesa, in other words, this is addressing the case of the two animals. The one that I lent you died. Or, biyom shaisa shula mesa, in the case where it was a two-day, day one was a loan, day two was a rental. So he says it died on day one, not on day two. And, bisha shaisa shula mesa. Or let's say on the one day where we divide the day in half, the first part of the day was a loan, and the second half was a rental. So the owner says it died while it was a loan, not during a rental. And essentially what the owner is saying is, you owe me. You owe me because the animal died, that's an ones, and it happened during the period of she'ela, therefore you owe me. Vahala omer, eina yodea. And the other person says, well, I don't know. Meaning, I'm just simply unsure. So the Mishnah says, Chayiv, in such a scenario, he's going to have to pay. The claim that was made against him is the Tainus Bari, that the owner knew with certainty what the conclusion was going to be. The Nit'an, the one who was being challenged, the one who's defending himself, doesn't have much of a defense for himself. He just simply says, Eini Yodea. I don't know. So that's what's called a Tainus Shema. We're unsure. And so therefore, the conclusion is that he is going to have to pay. Okay. Case number two. Case number two is going to be, it's not a new case, just a new set of claims. Hasocher Omer, so the renter says, now, when we say the renter, meaning, keep in mind, he's a borrower and he's a renter. But right now, the reason why we're calling him a renter is because he's going to be focusing on the fact that he was a renter. So, Hasocher Omer Schura Mesa, B'yom Shaisa Schura Mesa, B'shar Shaisa Schura Mesa. So again, now, same case, but his claim is, I know for sure, with certainty, that the animal died while during the rental period. And again, it's an ones, and we know that a socher is pater from onsen. So, v'hala omer, now the owner of the animal says, any odea. Well, I simply don't know. So under these circumstances, pater, he's going to be exempt from having to pay. After you know case number one, you for sure are going to know case number two. Right. Think about it. In case number one, you have a Tainus Bari and a Tainus Shema, and a Tainus Bari beats a Tainus Shema. Now, consider in case number one, because of that, because of the strength of the Tainus Bari, you are extracting money from somebody because of your definitive claim. That's the case number one. So in case number one, we know that Tainus Bari beats Tainus Shema. In case number two, for sure, Tainus Bari is going to beat Tainus Shema. Because consider in case number two, the renter is saying, I know for sure what happened. The owner is saying, well, I'm not sure. So what's going to happen over here? Literally nothing. Meaning, no money is going to be transferred as a result of Tainus Bari. So it's just a little bit curious, and Tosus is curious. After having been taught case number one, I really don't need case number two. Case number two at this point in time is obvious. Tosus, second Tosus on the Amud. Ve'hala omer eini yodea pater ve'im tomar. Le'ravuna le'rav Yehuda da'amri bari v'shama bari adif. Right? We're going to see this in the Gemara. But for our purposes right now, all we need to know is that a bari is beats a shema. A definitive claim beats a claim of uncertainty. Why do I need case number two? Case number two at this point is perfectly superfluous. Because in case number one, if a tainus bari can extract money, over here in case number two, you're just simply holding your money, and for sure, that would Tainus Bari is going to be Tainus Shema. V'yishlam da'ai di Tainus Bereisha da'bari adiv chayav hashoal taninami seifa dechihavi ichba depater hashoal. Okay, so Tosfos' first answer is symmetry, meaning you're right, and achinami. Case number two, it can easily have been deduced from case number one, inami. But then Tosfos goes on to suggest, and it's an interesting suggestion, de'bari de'mashal adiv mi'bari de'shoal. Meaning, yes, it's true, we have definitive claims. But whose definitive is better than whose definitive? Tosus makes the suggestion, that's so funny, I could have argued the other way, but Tosus makes the suggestion that the definitive of the mashal, the owner, is a stronger definitive than the definitive of the borrower. But I'm going to defend Tosus, because, you know, it's a mitzvah to do so. And you like...
Shaul would know that he has a cow, so he would know.
Well, the
guy, the renter is somewhere else. Who,
well, I mean, but the renter is right now the one who's currently watching it.
Sounds to me but, like it's more logical. Wait,
right, but just let me just finish. So I think what Tosus is saying is that, look, ultimately, the renter is just renting it, meaning his relationship with this animal is extraordinarily temporary. And it's not his. Masha Enkin, the mashal, or the maskir, right? The one who owns it. So being the owner, obviously he cares much more about the animal than the renter, than the borrower. So therefore, when he says, I know what happened, even though he wasn't there, right. He was, you know, but ultimately when you're the owner, your ownership creates now more of a care in the item, a financial care in the item, and that's why I think Tosfos says that the Tainas Bari of the owner is stronger than the Tainas Bari of the Shoah. And that, says Tosfos, is a Chiddush of case number two over that of case number one. We'll get to that. That's coming up later. Yes.
That makes sense with the two animals, but not with the time period.
I said when I presented Tosfos, I said I can hear an argument, but again, what started the Tosfos ball rolling is, why do I need case number two? Case number two is superfluous. So the first answer is, you're right. And the second answer is, we'll construct a bit of a chiddush. But again, in this chiddush, it's certainly interesting to think about. Back to the Mishnah. Ze Omer, we're now, so the case that's set up is going to be the same case throughout. It's just, in terms of the claims, we're basically going to have four different claims, counterclaims. So in case number one, claim and counterclaim was that the owner said, I know what happened, the defendant said, the shomer said, I'm not sure. Okay, chayev. Case number two, the owner said, I'm not sure what happened. Well, actually, he's the nitan, and he's still the towing, I take it back. So the owner says, I'm not sure what happened, and the shomer said, well, I know definitively what happened, and so there, and under those circumstances, it's going to be potter. Case number three, ze omer she'ula v'ze omer schura. So each one of them now has a definitive claim. Each one exactly knows what happened, but of course, their claims are not in agreement with one another. So yishava socher she'schura mesa. So now, under those circumstances, so the socher is going to make a shvua. He'll make an oath that, in fact, it died during the period of schirus, and at that point in time, he's going to be exempt. Okay, we'll discuss more of that later on as well. Ze omer niyodeh v'ze omer niyodeh. So now, we have a dead animal. We have two time periods, or two different animals, in which during one time period he's chayv, and the other time period is potter. And now the shomer says, well, I'm simply not sure. I don't know if it happened during the period of schiris or the period of she'ela. And the owner says, well, I too am not sure. Okay, so they both shrug their shoulders, but we do have a dead animal, and we have a potential liability, possible liability. So what do we do? The Mishnah says, so I'll tell you what we do, we split. Yachloku. Now, if you've been around long enough, you'll know, you'll recognize that Tana. Meaning, even without having gone through the Gemara, you can accurately guess what the Gemara is going to say regarding that last case of the Mishnah. So let's hold off on that. Let's wait till the Gemara. Gemara is going to identify who that Tana is. Shamas mina manali be'adecha v'halomer en yodeh chayef. Okay, what basically can we derive from our Mishnah? I come at you with a claim, a definitive claim that you owe me $100, and you look at me and you say, well, I don't know. I don't know. And so, what becomes now the responsibility of the nitan? Does he have to pay? Does he not have to pay? I'll tell you from the Mishnah, it seems pretty clear, you have to pay. Because consider, in the first case of the Mishnah, and all the cases of the Mishnah, but specifically in the first case of the Mishnah, where the owner makes a claim, hey, you owe me, it was during the period of She'ela, therefore you owe me, or it was the cow that was nishal to you, therefore you owe me, and the other person just shrugs his shoulder and says, well, I don't know, and the Mishnah says with absolute certainty that the person has to pay. So, if we can now create a parallel, in a simpler case where I claim you owe me money, and you look at me and you say, well, I don't know, so under those circumstances, you have to pay. Now, that seems to be a pretty easy jump to get from our Mishnah to this case. So let me have to have it to you after the Rav Nachman. So the Gemara says, well, if that's true, well, it's not going to sit well with the opinion of Rav Nachman. Dittmar, yeah?
It's a picture. It's the first one you admitted having the animal.
Very good. There. Okay, excellent. Excellent. Okay, good. Okay. I'll come back. Tosus addresses your point. I may come back to it, but okay, very good. So, de itmar. Manali be'adach v'alomer en yodea. So, in a scenario where I say to you, you owe me money, and you look back at me and you say, well, I don't know. So, Rav Huna, Rav Yehuda, Amri Chayev. So, according to Rav Huna, Rav Yehuda, you're Chayev. And Rav Nachman, Rabbi Yochanan, Amri Potter. And the opinions of Rav Nachman and Rav Yochanan is that you're Potter. You don't have to pay. Meaning, just because somebody comes over to me and says, I owe money, and he says it with confidence and with certainty, doesn't mean I have to pay the man. Does he have documentation? Then we'll have a conversation. Well, actually, we'll have more than a conversation. Then I'm going to have to pay. But in other words, if it's just his word, even though it's with certainty, and even though my response is not a very confident no, but rather it's, well, I don't know, but I'm not going to have to pay just based on that. And so, according to Rav Nachman and Rav Yochanan, you don't have to pay. And of course, now the problem that's created is that what's what's Rav Nachman and Rav Yochanan going to do with our Mishnah? Because our Mishnah, which is similar, as Yaakov points out, it's not the same, but it's similar, and in our Mishnah, my claim against the person, my definitive claim, is going to be able to extract money from him when his response is, I don't know. So what are they going to do with our Mishnah? So the Gemara Gemara's response goes as follows. Kidam Rav Nachman, Kigon. Sheesh Esek Shvua Beinehem. So what we could do with our Mishnah is we could line our Mishnah up, put a little more context in our Mishnah, set it up like Rav Nachman. Truth of the matter is, like Rav Nachman says elsewhere, although usually the Gemara tells us where the elsewhere is. The Gemara doesn't do that over here. So Kidam Rav Nachman Kigon Sheesh Esek Beinehem Hachinami Kigon Sheesh Esek Shvua Beinehem. So there is a Shvua in our Mishnah. Now you didn't see it. I didn't see it. And the Gemara now is going to set it up, set us up so that we could see it. Where's the Shvua in the Mishnah? So, Hechidami Esek Shvua, Esek Shvua. That's right. So, where is the Esek Shvua in the Mishnah? Kidda Rava. We're now on the top of Tzadik Chesem and Aleph, and the Gemara goes on to explain. Da'ama Rava Mana Lebi Adecha. I go over to you and I say, you owe me money. V'halomer Ein Lecha Biyadi Ela Chamishim. Well, the person says, look, I know that I owe you 50. Now, I know that I owe you 50, but here's what I don't know. The other 50, v'hashar ini yodea. I don't know about the other 50. Now, mitoch she'ini yocholi shava mishalim. Now, before I read the Gemara and explain it, although I just read it, but before I explain it, so let's give the proper context. We know that the Torah, under certain circumstances, requires a person to make a shvua. There are only three of them in the Torah. Right, there's a host of shvuos midrabbanan, but in the Torah there are only three. One of the three is modeh b'miksas. Another one is shvuos ha'pikadon. Okay, and the third one is eid echad. Okay, good. So I passed my test for today in terms of the three shvuos min haTorah. Actually, one and two is what we need to know for today. And then all three of them we need to know when we get to Shemayim. But, okay, neither here nor there. But for one and two is what we need to know today. And modeh b'miksas is, the shvuah of modeh b'miksas is when I make a partial admission. So that, if a person makes a claim against me that I owe him $100, and I say, no, I don't. I only owe you 50. I don't owe you the other 50. So there, I have to make a shvuah that I pay him the 50, and then the other 50, I'll swear that I don't owe him. Okay, and that's the shvuah of modeh b'miksas. Here's a little bit of a twist. And that is, he comes at me and says he owes me 100, and I say, I owe you 50, and the other 50, I simply don't know. I don't know if I owe you the other 50. So here, I'm not in a position where I can make the Shvuah of Modeh B'Miksas, because the Shvuah of Modeh B'Miksas says that I owe you some and I don't owe you the other. Here, I simply can't say that because I don't know. So now, where do we stand? Now, when you have to make a shvuah, so what happens if you don't make a shvuah? You have to pay. The shvuah is absolving you from having to pay. So now we get to an interesting scenario where you're required to make a shvuah modeh b'miksas. You can't make a shvuah modeh b'miksas. Therefore, you have to pay. That's what Rav is teaching us. Now let's see it inside. Let's read it inside. So the Gemara says, "I'm a Rav Amanali Bedecha V'Halal Omer. Ain Lecha B'Yadi Ela Chamishim V'Ashar Ain Yodea. Yes, are you 50? I don't know about the other 50. Mitoch She'ain No Yachol Ishava Mishalem. Now, because you put yourself in a position where you need to make a shvuah, you can't make a shvuah. Therefore, you're going to have to pay. So, Mishkach Chala Reisha Bebeis V'Sefer Begimel. Now the Gemara says, let's take that idea and let's now move it over to our scenario over here, meaning we are going to construct a scenario in our Mishnah. Now remember, there are three scenarios in our Mishnah, each one of them having a claim and counterclaim, but each scenario, we're going to deal with the three scenarios in our Mishnah and explain how it could all be a case of modeh b'miksas, where you made it impossible for you to swear, therefore you're going to have to pay. And what do we gain by doing all this? What we gain now is that at least Rav Nachman and Rav Yochanan have a way of understanding our Mishnah, because they're of the opinion that under normal circumstances, you don't have to pay just because somebody made a definitive claim against you. In our Mishnah, you do, but only because you're locked into a shvua that you cannot make. Okay, so now, what are going to be the scenarios in our Mishnah?
What is the right? Just that he says it.
Huh?
The right is just that he says it.
In other words, when somebody makes a claim against you and you make a partial admission, so that partial admission now puts you in the position where you have to swear.
And he says, I know.
And then because now, right, and because he can't swear, so therefore he has to pay. So Reisha Begimel, the Amarle, Beis Paros, Masar Tilach. So he says to him, I gave you two cows. Palga Diyuma B'Sheila. Upalga Diyuma B'Schiros. Half the day is going to be borrowing. The other half is going to be a loan, a rental. Inami Chad Yuma B'Sheila V'Chad Yuma B'Schiros. Or we'll deal with scenario number two of our Mishnah. One of the two cows, two on the first day are going to be a loan. Two on the second day are going to be a rental. Umesu Tarvayu B'Ida Sheela, and then the two of them died during Sheela Vamrele Shoah. And now the borrower says, Chadim Beida Sheela Mesa. Look, I admit to you that one of them died during the period of Sheela, which means, of course, I owe you on one of them. V'idach lo yadana, ibeidin sheila mesa, v'ibeidin skiris mesa. On the other one, I simply do not know whether it occurred during sheila, whether it occurred during skiris. And now, what he put himself in is in exactly this locked position of a requirement of a shvuah, but the inability to make the shvuah. He admits that he owes one of the cows. On the other one, he says, I don't know. So now, this is theoretically modeh b'mitzvos, but you can't make it because you simply cannot say, no, I don't owe you the other one.
You can't see them as two separate transactions?
Well, you bring us back to the beginning of Mitzvah where we discussed Halach. So, right, in a Halach scenario, you could possibly view it as two, but assuming that all this is one case, the answer is no. So Demitoch she'enu yochol yishav v'mishalem. So now, again, because you can't make a shvua, therefore you're going to have to pay. That's the pshat in our Mishnah. And let's just continue for sefer begimel da'amarle. And now, remember, in the third scenario of the Mishnah, so we started with two cows. So now we're just going to add another cow. And again, the purpose of adding another cow is to put us in a modeh b'mitzvos scenario. Da'amarle gimel paros nasati lach beis b'shel avachas b'schiros. I gave you three cows. Two of them were loan. A third one was a rental. Umesu. Hani tarte de shela, the amarle shoal. So now two of them died, and the shoal says in chad de shela mesa. So again, the borrower says yes, one of them died during shela. Now yes, I owe you for that one. Idach lo yadan, but the other one I simply do not know. Meaning because of the second cow that died, it may have been the rental cow that died. I simply don't know. Idach shela mesa v'dekaim et schirasi. Idach schiras mesa v'had dekaim de shelahi. I don't know which one died and which one's alive. And so, I'm unsure. So now he admits that he owes one of the cows. He's unsure about whether he owes the second cow. And again, that's the pshat in our Mishnah. Again, it's not a pshat in the Mishnah. It's an ukimta in the Mishnah. It's a scenario that we create in the Mishnah. And again, the entire benefit of doing so is so that our Mishnah does not pose as a difficulty to Rav Nachman and Rav Yochanan. Okay, one more wrinkle in this, and that is Rami Bar Chama. You remember back in Baba Kama, it's been some time now, over 3 months. Back in Baba Kama, so we discussed the opinion of Rami Bar Chama. He says as follows. Now, as I mentioned a couple minutes ago, there are three shvuos in the Torah, but shvuah one is modeh b'mitzvos, shvuah number two is shvuos hapikadon, a custodian shvuah. Now, it happens to be that the source of modeh b'mitzvos is a pasuk found within the psukim of shvuos hapikadon, right? The phrase in the Torah is ki huzeh. And according to Rami Bar Chama, the reason why the Torah places the shvuah of modeh b'mitzvos inside the pasuk of shvuos hapikadon is because you're only chay of modeh b'mitzvos when it's within the context of shvuos hapikadon. Meaning, according to Rami Bar Chama, the two shvuos are really conflated and are really speaking to one scenario. So in other words, a shomer is only going to have to make a shvuah only when there's a modeh b'mitzvos element in the shvuah. Okay. And the other opinion over there in the Baba Kama is Erev Parshio Shanu Khan. Okay. Anyway, not for now. So according to Rami Bar Chama, now, in order for us to construct our Mishnah in a scenario in which it is a Shmira and modeh b'mitzvos, so it's just going to be a little bit more complicated in order to get to the point where we want, which is you have to make a shvuah modeh b'mitzvos, but you can't, and therefore you're going to have to pay. According to Rami Barchama, who says that every shomer requires a partial admission and a partial denial in order to get to the point of moda b'miksas, so mishkach l'resha begim of a sefer b'dalin. So now, in order to construct our Mishnah, so we're going to need now just simply one more animal than we did previously. And we'll explain. Resha be gimel. So as far as the first case is concerned, we need three for the following reason. The amrle gimel paros nasati lach. I gave you three cows. Pagad yuma b'shela, pagad yuma b'schiras. Again, half the day loan, half the day rental. Inami chayuma b'shela v'chayuma b'schiras. One day loan, one day rental. Umeso gimel kula be'idan she'ela. And all three of them died during the period of the she'ela. The amrle shoa. And now here's what the borrower says to the owners of the animal, to the owner of the animals. Okay, chada lohavu dvar meolam. One, lohavu dvar meolam never happened. Like, in other words, I don't know what you're talking about regarding one of those three animals. Either you never gave it to me, or you gave it to me and I give it back to you. Meaning we have nothing to talk about regarding one of the animals. That's what we need over here according to Rami Barchama. We need a kfira. We need a partial denial. And chada in be'ida she'ela mesa. And one of them, yes, died during she'ela. So that's your mode to be mixas. And ve'idach lo yadana. And now we need a third animal. Sorry. Because on the third animal, what we need is simply an I don't know. And that's what we get with the third animal, an I don't know. Ibi den she'ela mesa, ve'ibi den schiras mesa. Now, what we've done over here, same thing. Just we've satisfied the opinion of Rami Barchama that for a shomer you need kfir b'miksas, hoda b'miksas, and then I don't know. Now seifa. Now what we're going to do again is we're going to do the same thing with the last scenario of the Mishnah. Bidalit. Four animals. Amalei dal parz nasati lach. I gave you four animals. Gimel b'sheila chad b'schiras. And of the four animals, three of them I gave to you as a loan. One of them I gave it to you as a rental. Umesu hanach gimel de she'ela. Three of the four animals died. The amrle shol. Now the shol says to the owner. Here we go. Ready? Count them up. Chada lo hayu dvar me'olam. I don't know what you're talking about regarding one of the animals. Never happened. Again, either you never gave it to me, or you gave it to me and I give it back to you. Okay. In other words, denial, full denial, one of the animals. V'chada in the she'ela mesa. I'm sorry. Chada in the she'ela mesa. And one, yes, died during she'ela, and I owe you. That's an admission. V'idach lo yadana. And now, in terms of animal number three, or according to me, animal number two, because animal number one never existed. But according, right? But animal number three. So I don't know whether that third animal was the rental or whether it was the loan. And again, because it's an ones, I'm not sure if I'm obligated. So, idischiras mesa udekami d'sheila, idischela mesa udekami d'schiras. The mitoch sheni ocholi shava mishalem. And because you can't make a shvua, even though this is a case of moda b'miksas, and because it's a case of moda b'miksas, now you put yourself in a position where the only thing that's exempting you from having to pay is to swear, but you can't swear. Therefore, you're going to have to pay.
You pay for two.
You pay for, well, which one? Meaning?
The one you would bid and the one you don't know, but you don't pay for the one.
Yeah, correct. Agreed. Okay. All right. Ze omer shula v'ze omer schura yishava socher sheschura mesa. Okay. We're up to case number three. Remember, we discussed case number two very quickly in the Mishnah, right? I quoted the Tosfos. Tosfos discusses whether it's even necessary to have taught case number two. But now we're up to case number three. Case number three in the Mishnah, what's the tone? What's the nitan? So each one of them is making a definitive claim. I'm saying to you, I'm the owner of the animal. I'm saying to you, the animal died during the period of She'ela. Therefore, you owe me. You're chayv anonis. And he says back to me, well, you're wrong. The animal died during Schiras. And therefore, I don't have to pay you. So the Mishnah says, under those circumstances, what needs to be done? A shvua needs to be made. To which the Gemara asks the following question. Gemara says, you know, the claim and counterclaim, we're like not talking the same language. I mean that obviously not literally. But in other words, when you make a shvua to me, it's because you're counterclaiming on my claim, you're acknowledging my claim, but you are saying something contrary to what I'm saying. under certain circumstances is going to require a shvua. But over here, I'm saying that it happened during the loan, and you're saying, no, it happened during the rental. And so therefore, what we're really having are two totally separate discussions. Why do I have to make a shvua? Well, now I'm confusing you, because now I'm the defendant. But okay, but as from the perspective of the defendant, why do I have to make a shvua when, quite frankly, I'm not even acknowledging your claim against me? Your claim against me, just simply, I'm dismissing it. It didn't happen during the loan. It's happened during the rental. So we have a claim, we have a counterclaim, but they're really not speaking the same language, and they're not addressing the same point, and so therefore, why is there shvua necessary at all? So Amar Ula Yidei Gilgal. So the Amar Le Ishtaveli Ezo Mios De Kedarka Meso. So the Gemara says it's going to be what's called Shvuas Gilgal, which means that I am making a claim to him that he is going to have to make a shvua for. And then once he's in the act of making a shvua, so then I have the ability to ask him to make more shvuas. And this is a concept, this is a principle known as Gilgal Shvua. So the Gemara says that, and Rashi points out, we learned it from Sota. But anyway, so here's what I say to him. Look, one of the animals you're saying to me you're not gonna be liable for. Why? Oh, perhaps it died over the course of work. Meaning, did it die over the course of work? So, and now that's something he is going to have to defend himself with. He is going to have to make a shvu that that's in fact what happened. And then umigu de mishtaba de kedarka mesa mishtaba nami de schor mesa. So then, once he's in the process of making a shvua, so then we can continue. I'll have him continue to make more shvuas. Okay, zemrani yodev zeinormi yodeo, and then we get up to the third. The fourth case of the Mishnah, the fourth claim and counterclaim, and that is where each one looks at each other with a shoulder shrug. I don't know, but that's insufficient over here because we do have a dead animal, and the owner now has lost money as a result of the dead animal. So what do? So the Mishnah says we divide the money. How money? Simchas he. So the Gemara says, okay, and we know that that's the opinion of Simchas. That when you have money that is in a state of doubt, so what we do is we simply say we divide the money. Simchas seems to be going against the basic principle of Hamotzi Mechaver Alavaraya. Okay, we discussed this back in the beginning of Bab Metzia, where we also introduced ourselves there to the opinion of Simchas as well. So, okay, so that's a lengthier discussion. But in the meantime, however, when our Mishnah says the money gets divided because of two people who are uncertain what happened, and therefore it's Mamana Muta Basafek, so the money gets divided, but only according to the opinion of Simchas, which means that according to the Chachamim, Hamotzi Mechaver Alavaraya, when I'm trying to extract money from somebody, I need proof positive. I need definitive knowledge that he in fact owes me the money. Otherwise, I cannot extract money from somebody else.
There is no definitive knowledge.
Exactly, which means that meaning that the halacha would not follow like our Mishnah. Okay. By Rab Abba Bar Mamo. Okay, so we finished off today's daf with a series of questions. Rabbi Abba Bar Mamo starts with the following. Shela Bebalim and Sachar Shlo Bebalim. So let's say as follows. Let's say I loan him the animal, and I do so Bebalim, meaning that the owner of the animal works or does some sort of assistance act with the borrower at the time of Sheila. And as we learned in the beginning of this parak, that's called a ptur. You now are going to you'll be exempt from having to pay for ones, for geneva, for aveda. You're going to be exempt from paying. And then you made a secondary contract in which you're going to be a renter. So now you're transitioning from being a borrower to being a renter. Now, the act of borrowing was done bi ba'alim. It was done with the owner. And so now the Gemara asks such a good question. Does the exemption carry through to the period of the rental? It's excellent. So, mahu, mi amrina sheila l'chuda kaimei v'schiris l'chuda kaimei. So do we view these two different custodians as two totally separate possessions? And so therefore, even though the Shela was Babalim, and that created an exemption for the Shoel, but once he becomes a Socher, it's Panim Chadashos Ba'olakan. It's a totally new entity. And so therefore, the exemption that he had for Shela will not continue and be Mamshich into the Schiris. Odilma, Schirus b'sheila meishach sheichi. So the Gemara says, or maybe no. Maybe, look, schirus is, has, or I should say has, components of sheila. Dahamichai b'gneva v'aveda. Just like when you were a shoal, you were obligated for loss and theft, so too when you're a socher, you're also obligated in loss and theft. So it's true that in name you're different, and yes, you're going to be exempt from having to pay onus once you're a socher, but you are still, like a shoal, liable in certain actions. So, Imtim Zalamer Schir B'Sheila Meshach Shaychei, the Gemara says, look, let's say, remember, Imtim Zalamer says, I'm not going to answer the question, but I'll assume. I'll assume that, yes, that a socher really is a continuation of the she'ela. And so therefore, if you're shol b'balim, and then it converts to schirus, the exemption will continue as well. So, socher b'balim, she'ela shlo b'balim. Let's go in the other direction. Let's say you rented it and b'balim. The owner, when he rented it to you, again, worked for you, did some sort of help with you, and so therefore, for the schirus, you now are under the umbrella protection of schira bebalim. And then, you convert it into a sheila, you convert it into a loan. And so once again, we're asking now the exact same question, but in the other direction. Sheila beschirus vadai lo shaychei. So do we say as follows? Look, we could have envisioned a moment ago that schirus is a continuation of sheila. But over here, she'ela really is not a continuation of schirus. Because consider, schirus, you have limited liability. She'ela, you have a much greater amplification of liability. So it's harder to envision that she'ela is a continuation of schirus. Or Dilma, Kevin de'sheicha b'mixas, Keman de'sheicha b'kula dami. Or maybe no. Look, I understand that your liability is going to be greater, but they're not. They're not totally different from one another. When you're a socher, you're a custodian with some liability. When you're a shoel, you're a custodian with greater liability. But at least there is a common denominator between the two. And maybe I could say that the exemption of schirus b'balim will continue even to sheila as well. Imtim solam alarmin and kevin d'sheicha b'mixas keman d'sheicha b'kula damei. And the Gemara says, and let's say no. Let's say that the patur of bebalim will not extend from schirus into she'ela. So, right now, where are we in the Gemara, the way the Gemara is setting ourselves up? If you have a patur balim by she'ela, that will continue into schirus. If you have a patur balim by schirus, it will not continue into she'ela. And again, the reason why is because schirus has less liability than that of she'ela. If you're exempt from she'ela, you're going to be exempt going into schirus. But the other way around, we won't say that. Because she'ela, you have more responsibility. So just because you're exempt by schirus will not allow you to also continue to be exempt during she'ela.
Are you using a
kalvachomer? It's not a kalvachomer. It's just that you can't assume an exemption when you're going into a position that has more liability. Okay. Now, she'ela b'balim, so fine. So the Gemara says, so that's where we are right now in terms of setting ourselves up. And so now, two more questions to ask. She'ela b'balim, u'schira shelo b'balim, v'sachra shelo b'balim, v'chazav she'ela. So let's say we go now from a position of being a borrower, b'balim, the owner was with you at the time, then to being a socher, and we said that does continue, back to being a shoel. So now, understand the complication. Because when you went from shoel to socher, shoel to socher, right, that's a downgrade, meaning that the exemption continues. We said that going from socher to shoel does not continue. But here, you started as a shoel. So you went shoel, socher, shoel. So normally, the exemption can't go from socher to shoel, but maybe because here you started by shoel, so maybe the exemption somehow here can continue. The way the Gemara says in Mahu, Hada Asya le she'ela leduchta. Does she'ela go back to its rightful place? Since the exemption started in she'ela, so therefore we'll allow in this case the exemption to jump from socher to she'ela, because anyway it started in she'ela. Odilma afsekelei schirus beni 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 uveni, or maybe no, schirus created a hefsek. Now schira babalim v'shala v'chazar v'sachra mahu. What if we do like this? One last question for this morning. What if we were
renting,
bebalim, going to Shoel, going back to renting? Now, mi amrin an asil aschiras leduchte. So again, over here, you can make the following argument. You could say, well, look, the exemption started with schiras. I understand the exemption doesn't climb up to Shoel, but you went back down to schiras. So maybe the schiras can basically ignore the she'ela and be a continuation from the original schiras, and therefore you should be exempt. Odilma afsekale she'ela beinu uveini. Or maybe no. Maybe the she'ela that occurred in the middle creates a break in the exemption, and therefore the exemption does not continue into the schiras. Take with the Gemara leaves these questions unresolved. Okay, wonderful. We're up to speed. Okay, so the Mishnah gave us three scenarios of being both a shovel and a socher, either two different time periods or two different animals. The Mishnah created four scenarios of toin v'nitan, of a claim and a counterclaim. In all four cases of the Mishnah, there's something we discussed, either the Gemara or the Rishonim discussed in all four of those cases. The last of the four cases was an eni odeya, and the Gemara lined that up with the opinion of Simchus. And then what we discussed at the end is whether or not the exemption of Bebalim can go from Schirus to She'ela, from She'ela to Schirus, and then the last thing we discussed was, well, what if we went bounced back and forth between She'ela and Schirus, and so can we make arguments that we can go back to the original exemption, or that which in the middle creates the Hefsek?